Fellowship and Vic stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to, commercial-free, and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and I'm joined with my other half in the fight for our babies, Linda. We are on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on the front page of prn.fm or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. We thank this radio station for allowing us to have any questions you may have answered on next week's show. The voicemail line's 862-800-6805. And just leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our show. So Linda and I are going to do something a little bit different today. We decided that we need to update the audience or keep the audience updated on some current events that are very, very important today. Are you on, Linda?
I'm on. Hello, everyone.
So she stays a little more on top of everything than me as far as reading. I'm always leaning on her to tell me what things say because I'm not as comprehensive as she is in reading. But anyway, Linda, why don't you share with the audience some things that are going on right now, and we'll discuss it and make the audience aware.
Well, there are several bills that are in the process of trying to be passed. So they are trying to force, of course, parents and children, especially those in public schools, to be fully vaccinated. And this in New York, it happened recently where it covered three zip codes, and they're fighting all of those with great results. But I really wanted to get into vaccine reactions that are not included in the CDC contraindications, because if any of these bills do pass, it's important for all of you to know that these are things that will not be included. For example, if you say, oh, my child had a vaccine and his brain was swelling, that's not an excuse for that child to be prevented from getting all of the other vaccines. And that goes for any other contraindications listed. So let me just get to it. Of course,
so these are actually the CDC's own contraindications, audience. These are their reasons of why you should not vaccinate. And is this on their website, Linda?
Well, this is according to the FDA package insert, and these are not included in the CDC contraindications. Let's see here. You can go to the FDA.gov biologics blood vaccines /vaccines/approved products/UCM093833.htm for this document.
And they're really all the same, though. FDA is CDC, CDA, they're all tied in together, unfortunately. So basically, they're definitely admitting there are contraindications, and everyone needs to be aware of them. So we're going to go through them with you in detail.
So keep in mind that if any of these bills pass, in your state, for example, none of these severe reactions will qualify for a medical exemption. Encephalitis is the first one mentioned, Guillain-Barré syndrome, seizures, brachial neuritis, fever over 105 degrees, which that's what my son experienced after the DTaP vaccine, Stevens-Johnson syndrome, stroke, hypotonic unresponsive episodes, severe nerve dysfunction, vasculitis, which is blood vessel inflammation, spinal cord paralysis, coma, which is, you could be in a coma and they'll still be giving you these vaccines. I mean, it's just crazy. Pulmonary embolism, systematic lupus, erythematosus. I don't know if I'm saying that right, so bear with me. Severe nerve paralysis, moderate and severe allergic reactions, angioneurotic edema, limb paralysis, apnea, cyanosis, swollen lymph nodes, cellulitis, hypotonia, spinal cord inflammation, pneumonia, thrombocytopenia purpura, worsening of multiple sclerosis symptoms, rapid heart rate or palpitations, wheezing or asthma attacks, eczema, hair loss, esophageal syncope, vertigo, chronic tinnitus, facial nerve paralysis, inflammatory bowel disease, inflammation of the pancreas, permanent arthritis, acute disseminated encephalomyelitis, which is brain and spinal cord inflammation. Optic nerve inflammation, Kawasaki disease, multiple nerve inflammation and dysfunction, onset of multiple sclerosis, Hinox-Scholin purpura, a very severe immune reaction that involves the skin and kidneys, bloody stools, paniculitis, nerve, deafness in the ear, severe eye inflammation that can permanently affect vision, abscess at the injunction site, testicular pain and swelling, subacute sclerosing, SCLEROSING, panencephalitis, ataxia, which is the balance problems with difficulty walking, pneumonitis, a severe inflammatory reaction in the lungs, extensive swelling of the injected limb and nearby joints, bacterial skin and tissue infections, difficulty swallowing, tremors, autoimmune arthritis, thyroiditis, blood clots in the limbs. So that's just a short list of CDC contraindications that are listed on the FDA package inserts and not included in the CDC contraindications.
Of why they're saying that you should not vaccinate.
In other words, how
are you supposed to know this in a two-month-old baby if they have any of those issues when they're given 8-9 vaccines, you know, 2 months old? It's insane.
Well, they haven't even done the testing in babies that young. In fact, they haven't done any testing in over 30 years, so it's not the same at all. So I wanted to take this opportunity to share 20 vaccine facts that you need to know in order to make an informed choice, because I think it's very important for many of you parents and grandparents and you know, people that love your neighbors. I mean, do your research before you vaccinate. And there's so many places that you can go now. Dell Bigtree has a wonderful show called High Wire. Mm-hmm. And you can basically go to YouTube and put in Dell Bigtree or put in High Wire and it'll come up. And they've got a lot of the latest information coming out. He's a wonderful advocate in this fight. I mean, of course, Renee and I have been doing this for, 20 years now?
Yeah, at least.
It's nice to see others taking the baton and moving forward. So let me just run through this list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one, vaccine manufacturers have no liability. And this is due to the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act in 1986, where basically the pharmaceutical companies were starting to get sued for a lot of injuries. And so they said, we're going to stop making vaccines if you don't protect us. So now because of that Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, they cannot be sued for injury from their product, and they have no incentive to make their product as safe as possible. Two, vaccines are not held to the same double-blind gold standard of clinical testing as other pharmaceutical drugs because they are considered biological products under the Public Health Federal Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act. Three, the per-vaccine federal excise tax is used to pay vaccine injuries through the Department of Justice in the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is the NVICP, which has paid over $4 billion to date in vaccine injuries. So for any one of you who have a vaccine-injured child, you will quickly learn that you have to go through this special court in order to fight your child's vaccine injury. And then the days are limited to how long, you know, it will take before they listen to your case. And in a lot of cases, they don't listen to your case. And if you don't opt out, well, then it's too bad for you, basically. 4, vaccines contain neurotoxins, aluminum, and mercury, far exceeding safe levels deemed by the EPA. 5, vaccines contain cancer-causing ingredients and have never been tested if they cause cancer, infertility, or DNA mutation. So basically, it's like make them sick, keep them sick, folks. 6, some vaccines are made from aborted fetal cell lines, WI-38 and MCI-5, human cell fibroblasts are just a couple of those. 7, vaccines are not 100% effective, and a vaccinated person can get the disease they were vaccinated for. 8, a vaccinated person carries the disease they were vaccinated for and have what's called shedding for up to 6 weeks. 9, the concept of herd, community, which is community immunity. And it cannot be achieved by vaccines because vaccines are not 100% effective. Unlike lifetime immunity afforded by disease, vaccine-induced immunity lasts between 2 to 10 years and sometimes for a lifetime. 10, doctors receive financial rewards from insurance companies for having patients fully vaccinated. That's $400 per patient for being fully vaccinated. They are advised not to share all the risks or the vaccine package inserts. So 100% informed choices cannot be made in a doctor's office when vaccinating. 11, vaccine injury is underreported. FAERS is the only way to officially report a vaccine injury, and it's tedious with no incentive for a doctor to fill it out. 12, vaccine mandates like SB 277 and SB 792 in California literally hand over new customers to pharmaceutical companies and remove rights to choose what is injected into a person's body. 13, pharmaceutical companies spend up to 19 times more on advertising than they do on research. Actually, they don't spend any money on research.
Right.
That's what I can see. 14, corporate mainstream media gets 70% of their advertising revenue from pharmaceutical companies. 70%. Mm. 15, vaccine safety and efficacy research is not conducted by independent researchers and so is biased. 16, the full CDC recommended vaccine schedule has never been tested. Vaccinated children are the human experiment. 17, all vaccines can cause injury or death, and there is no way to tell who will have a reaction. 18, most doctors receive 30 minutes on vaccine education that they are safe, effective, and a must during their 8 years of medical school. 19, if someone dies from a vaccine, their family will be awarded no more than $250,000. Most cases of vaccine injuries are dismissed because doctors and vaccine manufacturers deny a causation link. The statutory time limit for filing a claim is only 2 years after death and 3 years from the time of vaccine injury. And 20, the government plan, Healthy People 2020, has a goal to fully vaccinate all children and adults by 2020. There are 217 new vaccines being created right now. How many is too many, people? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and ICANDecide.org sued HHS in 1985 for 1986 NCVIP federal mandate that safety studies are conducted biannually. Zero have been conducted. Vaccines are safe and effective. Prove it. And this is a, this document, I got this document from www.avoiceforchoice.org. Their telephone number is area code 408-835-9353. And everyone should be involved in order to keep these pharmaceutical companies at bay from poisoning our children.
That's right.
Another thing That's that right. I wanted to mention is for all of you God-fearing out there, or any of those of you who go to a church or a synagogue, there are certain ingredients that certain religions, for example, do not, like for example, Buddhism, they do not eat meat. The Hinduism, no beef, chicken, including eggs. Islam, no pork and only halal meat. Judaism, no pork or shellfish and only kosher meat. Rastafarianism, no meat or shellfish. Seventh-day Adventist, no meat, especially pork. Jainism, no meat or eggs. Now, all of these vaccines, which Renee will tell you, contain some type of animal byproducts or aborted fetal tissue. So this is bypassing not only all of God's defense mechanisms, but it's injecting it directly into your blood by injecting it directly into your bloodstream. And it's basically a slap in the face to your religious beliefs. So,
right. And this is something the audience needs to know, because I didn't know this when I blindly held my baby girl down, and I'm sure you didn't either, that they use these live mediums in a laboratory to make the vaccinations, like with the polio vaccine. They use the kidneys of monkeys, the MMRs where they're using the aborted fetal tissue, the flu shot, they're using insect cells. So what they do is they do serial passage, and they weaken the disease, a laboratory-made disease, in the kidney of the monkey, for instance. And they do it like 50 times in their kidneys to weaken the disease to make the vaccinations. Then, of course, they add the mercury, the formaldehyde, the aluminum, the antifreeze, the polysorbate 80, the nagalase, and all the other witch's brew that's in it. Bypassing our defenses, you know, our creator gives us fever, vomiting, diarrhea if it comes through the methods that, you know, was created to come through the mouth or the nose, and we're bypassing that. So not only the blood of these animals they're weakening the disease in, and their DNA and RNA, because it's a live animal, so you're extracting every, you know, virus that particular animal ever had straight to the bloodstream with all the other heavy metals. And this is why all those contraindications she mentioned at the beginning, all of those are caused from the havoc on the immune system, because the immune system has to attack. It has to go on red alert when you inject it into the blood intramuscular, because the body's shocked. I mean, it's just a no-brainer that you can't put these poisons in your body, period, especially in a little baby within 3 hours of birth. And then what is it up to now? Like 39, I think, by the time they're 18 months of age. I mean, it's crazy what we're doing to our children, you know, in the name of health. It's just insane. Yeah. I mean, our kids have never been as sick as they are today. Think about it.
No, never. In fact, when my son... when I first called the doctor, and I called the doctor's office, and I told the nurse that my son was running 105.4 fever, that he was having a reaction to the vaccine, she said, "Oh, give him Tylenol. He'll be fine tomorrow." And I said, "You just gave him Tylenol before you gave him the vaccine." See, they don't think parents are paying attention. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they don't give you any information. They don't give you any information on the vaccines. And the doctors are supposed to educate you, but, you know, they don't.
And they're actually masking the reaction with the Tylenol. They're actually, and it's also synthetic Tylenol. It's destroying the liver as well. But anyway, it prevents the reaction from manifesting, and then they're giving you more, because, like, even with my daughter Casey, they actually gave me Tylenol and said, make sure you give this to her before you come to the appointment. So they're already gearing up to hide any type of reaction they might have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the minute the child starts getting the gut issues and the earaches, because there's a lot of ear infections that come along with that, things just start coming out of everywhere. And then what they start doing is giving antibiotics. And they'll give you an antibiotic like they did with my son. They gave him an antibiotic, and he took it for 10 days. And then after he finished the antibiotics, it came right back again. So I had to take him back, so they gave him a stronger antibiotic. And by the third time, I told him, I'm not giving my son this stuff anymore. Well, I didn't say stuff. I was nice about it. But, you know, so even they add insult to injury by giving them all of these antibiotics. And, of course, you know, I will always, I grew up to think that you went to the doctor and the doctor helped you. Because remember, you know, I'm not as young as you are. So, you know, when we had a doctor, when I was a child, we had a family doctor. Everybody went to the family doctor. They didn't, pediatricians didn't exist back then.
The vaccine clinics, absolutely. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And people just don't know this stuff. I mean, you and I weren't aware. I mean, we just blindly trust and we, you know, think we're doing the best thing for our child because, of course, we're considered negligent if you don't vaccinate. And that's, and then they use the fear. I mean, they told me Casey would die if I didn't vaccinate her. So they prey on first-time moms especially, and they make you think that, you know, if you don't do it, you're a negligent person. It's just crazy.
Yeah, they played that game with me too. Oh, you're doing the best thing for your child. Yeah. You know, it's just really awful what is happening to our children today. It's just, there's going to be a payback someday.
Absolutely. And now they're trying to push it on, in case the audience isn't aware. I was just in Oregon, and I got contacted by a lady who was putting on 3 or 4 different rallies in different big cities for some bill. I don't remember the name of the bill. But anyway, they were trying to, she said it was an open door to mandate the vaccinations for adults as well. The drug company's agenda, like Linda said, by 2020 is to force vaccinate not only the children, but also adults. I mean, I mean, even in New York, didn't they say that they were going to fine them $1,000 if they didn't vaccinate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In New York. Yeah. They were going to fine them $1,000 per vaccine. This is per vaccine. So if you say no to the flu vaccine, that's $1,000. You say no to, you know, varicella, that's another $1,000. It's just, they threw the Constitution completely out the window.
That's right.
But they're not getting away with it because there are these organizations like A Voice for Choice that are fighting it. And that's why I'm saying all of you should go to voiceforchoice.org, sign up for their newsletter, and if you can support them because now we have what do you call them? Lobbyists. That's it. We have 3 lobbyists compared, of course, to the pharmaceuticals, 30, but, you know, a little bit goes a long way when you have truth on your side.
That's right. And these are the newly injured children. I mean, Linda and I, like you said, has been fighting this for almost 20 years. It'll be actually 20 years in June since Casey's passing from the poisons and the vaccinations. So it's been almost 20 years that her and I have been being a voice for these voiceless victims. And Linda, let's cover some things when you're finished with that. If you're finished with that, let's cover some things just to let the audience know that how long we've been, you know, exposing truth and, you know, sharing our stories and trying to wake up people.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, we had, we started Casey's Quest back in, what was that? She passed in 99. When did we start Casey's Quest? Was that, it was right around.
I wasn't with you. I wasn't with you when you started Casey's Quest.
Okay.
My son was born in 97. And at 15 months, he got, when he had those run of vaccines, that's when he got really sick. So I didn't see you till the following year. So I'm thinking 98 or 99.
Yeah, well, I know I started Casey's Quest, I think even before she passed, because I knew that she was injured. So I was already trying to start waking up people. But I remember Casey's Quest was the Florida chapter of the Autism Autoimmunity Project, because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to have to go through the paperwork and all the legalities of starting a nonprofit. And Ray Gallup, I remember, used to send out emails because his son Eric was severely injured by the vaccinations. And he was like, what, 19 at the time, Linda?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he was like 19 years old. But I mean, literally, he was a huge 6 foot, you know, boy. And he would literally attack Ray, and I remember one time he called and he had him confined in a corner and was almost bit his finger off because they get angry. And even Casey, when she would get angry, she would bite you because she couldn't talk. So she, you know, if my son took a ball away from her, for instance, she'd run after her with her mouth wide open, you know, to let him know that I want that ball back. You know, that was the way that she had to express herself. But anyway, back to Ray, he already had the Autism Autoimmunity, or it was called Autism Autoimmunity Project, and he had to eventually institutionalize Eric because he was risking their lives, and they handed the organization over to us, and that's when we met, correct, Linda?
Yes.
Yeah, after we had...
And after I was actually taking my son to... I called one of the doctors that was doing the DAM protocol at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was overwhelmed with patients. So I started crying on the phone, and I said to the receptionist, please, my son needs help. And she said, are you familiar with Aventura? And I'm like, yeah, it's like 5 minutes from me. And there was actually a doctor there that was starting to do the protocol, so I was able to take him there, because even after seeing, you know, the top-rated neurologist in Miami, you know, all they wanted to do was drug my son, and I wasn't having it. I just wasn't going to have it. So it was when I went to that office that the first time that I took the poem with me that I wrote the day that C was diagnosed with autism, and I gave it to the receptionist, and when she read it, she gave me your website so that I could contact you. She says, oh, I know who would love this.
That's within 5 minutes when I asked you to be a board member, because I just got in tap, and my attorney said, you need a board.
And so I go on Renee's website. Yeah, I go on her website, and it's this beautiful beach scene with birds, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so lovely. And I read the story about Casey, and I was just heartbroken, and I shot her an email. And you want to tell what happened?
remind me. You give the details.
I shot you the email, and I basically said, thank you so much for what you're doing. I have a vaccine-injured son, and I just don't know where to go from here. And she writes me back, would you like to be on my board?
And that's when we started TAP. But let's tell the audience, because I know that you mentioned somebody, I think it was Dell in his presentation, just isn't aware of all the, you know, the things we've been doing for 20 years now. So let's share with the audience. I mean, not only did we have the first conference in 2001 with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, he was the first one that was listening to us parents and studied the children with a scope internally and found that they were literally falling apart inside. So we had a conference with him. And who was the one with Andy that we had? Was it Dr. Bradstreet? No, who was the? We had Dr. Wakefield as the researcher, and then I always tried to get a researcher with a treatment person for autism. And was it Bradstreet? It was Jeff Bradstreet, the one that they.
It was Bradstreet.
The one that shot himself in the heart and threw himself in the river, and they called it suicide.
Right. He was the one that I called asking for help, because he was like the only one that I could find in my area at the time, and it was still going to be like a 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
So we had Dr. Wakefield and Dr. Bradstreet in 2001, and then I remember about 600 people showed up to that conference with injured children, and we were able to raise $40,000 because, of course, Dr. Wakefield lost all funding as soon as he said that there may be, or just look into the vaccines, because he realized that measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine were causing the ulcerative enterocolitis. He called it a swelling in their intestine. And, of course, the gut's directly connected to the brain. So when they would have, you know, gluten or casein, it would literally cause, if I would give Casey like a bottle of milk, she would bounce into the walls. But from the casein. But anyway, that was the first conference that we had. And then we had the second one in 2002. And this was when Linda was on our board. We had a whole board, scientific board. I mean, Linda and I changed the name from Autism Autoimmunity Project to TAP, T-A-A-P, the Autism Autoimmunity Project. And we had a little slogan called Tap Into the Truth.
Right.
Remember that? We were in some conference, exhibiting autism conference when we named Tap Into the Truth, I remember. And anyway, so 2002, we had Dr. Singh, and I believe that
and
was
Dr.
with Dr.
William Shaw.
That was with Dr. Bill Shaw.
And
yeah.
Dr. William Shaw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had the Great Plains Laboratory. That was a place that a lot of parents were sending, I guess, testing for their child's blood or whatever. I don't know what kind of laboratory it was, but basically validating the vaccines were causing injury. Because, you know, we realized, Linda and I realized that, you know, we back then as victims and most majority of people out there, we give medical doctors, we have this position of trust with them, and we have to kind of bring them to the lay person that needs to be, that's speaking truth to kind of influence them. Because, you know, Linda and I are just moms of injured children. So to the average lay person out there, we don't know anything. You know what I mean? It has to come from a medical doctor. So Linda and this is our website too. We decided let's bring the medical doctors, the credible people to the masses out there who are speaking truth, like Kennedy, like Dill Bigtree, and let's bring that to them. So we had Dr. Singh the second year in 2002, 300 people showed up, and then we were able to raise, I think, 15,000, Linda, was it about, for Singh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he also lost funding as soon as he started connecting the dots. And then the third year was Dr. John Martin with Sherry Tenpenny.
Right.
So every year we did these conferences.
Yeah, that was in 2003.
Mm-hmm. And we weren't able to raise any money for him, but we definitely let him expose his research. And he was the one connecting the animal viruses, the monkey viruses, with the vaccination. So every one of the researchers had a piece, you know?
Right.
And woke up a lot of people. And then from there, we just did little conferences with Dr. Berger. I remember one of our scientific advisors. But those were our three bigger conferences that we did. But the other thing that we accomplished is the rallies. We need to talk about those. Yeah. After the Homeland Security Bill, they slipped a provision protecting the drug companies from liability from parents like Linda and I that were blaming the autism on vaccinations. They tried to totally make that go away, and they slipped this provision after 9/11. They created this Homeland Security Bill, and in the middle of the bill, they slipped the provision protecting them from liability. So we did a rally, and the night before, literally, we got a call. Our director of media relations got a call saying they took the provision out. So definitely, you know, moms on a mission make a difference for sure, because we for sure got the bill taken care of as far as that provision. And I remember so many parents weren't able to attend because they were, you know, subjected to taking care of their autistic child, their vaccine-injured child. And we took chairs. Remember we got the pictures of all the children?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So we got everybody to send us pictures, and we blew up posters, like 8x10 posters, and it said, sorry, we're unable to attend, but we're under siege with the child's picture. And we put them on the back of the chairs in Washington, right in front of the Capitol. So we had like 300 people or 300 chairs there. So they knew there was a big army, you know, lions protecting their cubs. That's for sure. And that's why we got the call the night before, because they knew it wasn't just, you know, a couple of mothers out there. You know, there was a lot of us. And
there's a lot of us, but unfortunately, you know what it's like to travel. If you have a child with special needs, you know what it's like traveling with them. So
exactly. And that's why we had to put the chairs, you know, because they weren't able to go. Yeah. And we still had probably a couple hundred people there, but we had many more chairs. And then that was the first rally. And then they go and do another bill and slip the same provision in.
And we had to go back.
Right. The BioShield bill. They slipped another the same provision in the BioShield bill. Both of these are terrorist bills, audience. These are for terrorists, and they're considering parents of autistic children like we're terrorists.
Yeah, basically, yeah. If you say that your child was vaccine injured, you're to be regarded as a terrorist. I mean,
that's what a sacred cow.
We can't even make this stuff up.
I know. This is the sacred cow, exactly. And then we did fundraisers and stuff too for the researchers. I remember we had a couple of fundraisers.
And the congressional hearings with Dan Burton.
Yeah, the congressional hearings. Yeah, we went up to D.C. a couple times for Congressman Dan Burton. For anyone that's not aware, I know that he's not a known name in today's generation of vaccine injury, which I'm sure is I know for sure is way more than it was back then, even because there's so many more vaccines and so much more poison. But Congressman Dan Burton at the time was the chairman of the House Committee of Government Reform, and he had hearings, with the FDA, the CDC, the NIH, all of them. He posed questions to them, and he even let five of us get up and pose questions directly. And contraindications, they lied through their teeth, literally. I mean, they look like ridiculous when Congressman Burton would ask them questions. But he had two vaccine-injured grandchildren. His grandson, I think, was autistic, and his granddaughter stopped breathing after the hepatitis B vaccination. So, we attended those rallies. We did a lot of contacting C-SPAN to show the hearings. I remember all of us were, writing C-SPAN, asking them to show it and just being really aggressive to get this truth out. And like I said, Dell and them don't know about that because they weren't around back then. They're all more recent people that are speaking up, which is wonderful. Because a lot of the people that were helping us.
They only showed like a couple hearings, and it was like at 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
I know. C-SPAN. Yeah, we got them to show up, but it was like in the middle of the night. We got it on film, though. I remember I even have in my storage an old VHS tape, I think, of the recording of the hearing. So definitely we've been around for a while and haven't stopped trying to wake people up.
But, That's it.
Yeah.
It changed our lives forever. Vaccine injury will change your life forever. And I'm not just saying it's the only injury, but the idea that we went to our physicians to help us keep our children healthy, and what they did was poison them. It's diabolical is what it is. I can't trust doctors anymore. I have to really investigate them before I go to them, because I just can't believe a word that is said unless it's somebody like Dr. Humphreys or somebody that's been around the block and knows what's going on.
That knows truth, yeah. And the audience needs to also realize their motive. The pediatricians, like you said, they're vaccine clinics. We went to family doctors as children. Without vaccines, they wouldn't have a job. And they get financial incentives from the drug companies for every vaccinated child. So their motive is the root of all evil. The love of money, that's their motive. They blindly, they convince us, vulnerable parents, first-time parents, and they, because of money in their pocket, we're letting them poison our babies, And they don't even know, the drug companies don't even inform the pediatricians, because they pretty much write the textbooks and fund the schools, the medical schools. And do you know you can ask a pediatrician what's in a vaccine and they don't even know?
Yeah, that's a good question for your doctors. They actually get very angry when you ask them because they don't know. And
they
think that more doctors today, I got to say, more doctors today are waking up, because you just can't have, especially pediatricians, you can't have these perfectly healthy babies coming into you and see them regress and not think that something's up. I mean, time after time. So.
And they can't even, they can't, even if they are suspecting it, I mean, unless they want to just destroy their career, their years in medical school, all the funding, all the money they put into it, unless they want to turn around like Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, we've talked about her in previous shows, but let's definitely share what her experience was. She was a nephrologist at one of the top hospitals. And very, you know, she's written two books, one exposing what she found out, and then she wrote another one called Rising from the Dead, where she says she was the walking dead. They are the walking dead, she calls them, in her own book. She says she used to be one. But three people that had perfect kidneys after the flu shot had kidney failure. And she started looking into it, and she started investigating, and she just was led right down the truth path, you know, of realizing how poisonous these vaccines were, including the flu shot, including the tetanus vaccine. All the vaccines, they try to make it separated from being a vaccine, calling it a shot, but it's all blood poisoning, you know, bypassing, you know, our creator's defenses, fear of vomiting, diarrhea. And anyway, so she really exposes some great stuff. And I don't even, have you heard from her at all, Linda?
Nope, not recently.
Yeah, she. Last I heard, she was taking a sabbatical. I just pray that she didn't get taken out like many doctors have for exposing truth. But
so.
You know, that's the risk these medical doctors are taking. The ones that are seeing the increase in autism. I mean, autism was 1 in 10,000 children back in the early 80s, and now we're down to what, 1 in 28, and even that number is probably high. You know.
Yeah. I mean, 72 doses of vaccines, is that what we're up to now? 72 doses?
Yeah, something like that. It's just, it's eight, nine at a time, 2 months, four months, 6 months. You know, I mean, it's just insane.
Five doses of DTaP, 4 doses of polio, 4 doses of hepatitis B, 4 doses of Hib. I mean, it goes on. 4 doses of Prevnar, 3 doses of rotavirus, 2 doses of MMR, 2 doses of the chickenpox vaccine, the Varivax, 2 doses of hepatitis, 1 dose of DTaP, HPV, a number of doses depends on the age when you start. 28 doses of those vaccines by age 2, 35 doses by age 5, 23 individual shots by 5 years. And don't forget, people, they could put up to, what is it, nine different vaccines in one shot?
Yeah, at one time. They could put multiple needles at the same visit, yeah. I think they have a five disease in one needle. Like, one needle's 5 different diseases. I think they're up to that now. But they can give 2 or 3 different needles with up to 9 different laboratory-made diseases.
Crazy.
You know, and they've never tested. I mean, mercury is a no-brainer. I mean, come on, it's a neurotoxin. They used to call poison control if you broke a thermometer with mercury. That's just a no-brainer. But with aluminum, they've never done studies with aluminum mixed with mercury, formaldehyde, all these other toxins in the back of our card. And that's another thing I wanted to let you know, the people in the new generation of vaccine injuries know of how long, and not that we're trying to get credit, we just want to make it people aware, because Linda and I have committed ourselves to waking up whoever will listen, and we created these business cards, because I remember when Casey passed away, I started telling everybody about them, and they looked at me like I had 3 heads of what happened to her, and I went into prayer about it, and I called my cousin Wendy, who was working at Crooks Printing at the time, for like 11 years, and she called her graphic artist, and I'm like, we got to create something to penetrate that brainwash wall that just comes up anytime you mention anything, you know, about vaccines being a problem, you know? So the graphic artist created the little owl logo and the educate before you vaccinate, and then of course we eventually put the ingredients on the back, because, you know, Linda and I both, and any parent for that matter, if that card would have been handed to us before we chose to blindly hold our babies down, we would have been able to see the poison in them. I mean, we list all the ingredients, you know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that?
And I got to tell you, it's not like the vaccine insert where it's like, I don't know who they made that print from, but you can't see it with the naked eye.
Exactly.
Big old glasses to see that. But the cards on the back, for example, say mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, manganese, squalene, glyphosate, polysorbate 80, MSG, antifreeze, cadmium, lead, glycerin, E. coli, sulfates, antibiotics, acetone, neomycin, streptomycin, animal insect, blood viruses, foreign DNA and RNA, aborted fetal tissue, and many more. And you can get these cards by calling us at 800-939-8227 or by emailing us at vic@vacinfo.org. And these are great because you don't have to get in an argument with anybody. You don't have to try. You just hand them the card. And I'm telling you what, it's just, you know how they say a picture is worth a million words? Well, you know, hopefully we have spared millions of children the, you know, death and sickness as a result of these cards. We certainly have educated a lot of people over the years, and it's just amazing. And thanks to Dell and all of these other advocates that we have now that are fighting, you know, in the courts on behalf of our life, because it is our very life. They're literally trying to kill us with all these toxins, and
that's right.
Certainly not what the creator intended.
That's right. And the cards, like she said, we've been sending those out, gosh, for 20 years, packages of like 100 cards. My parents do them now. People are still requesting them. And we tell people, plant the seed and God will grow the seed. Because if we would have been given that card and we would have saw the poisons in them, and then we would have had a website to go to, which is our website, that Miss Linda here does. She's the one that keeps it up to date and everything, although we are having some issues right now getting into it, but they're working on that with the server. But we keep it up to date with the current events. We have Dale Bigtree on there quite a bit because he's doing some great, great stuff. But anybody
Dr.
want
Penny,
these cards, like Linda said?
A lot of the doctors that are awake, we support them so much because it must be really difficult for them. I mean, they're losing their licenses or they're giving them away because they see what's happening to our children and they don't want to be a party to that, you know.
And there's so many of them, Linda, that are aware and are still, you know, it's crazy how they can look at themselves in the mirror. I mean, really, a pediatrician that is aware, you know, of the dangers and what it's doing and how cancer and all kind of these adult diseases are in babies today from these vaccinations. But then, of course, autism, I know without question, my baby girl's mausoleum says God's dearest angel on it. These are the angels he's using to give us his power back, our creator's power back. You know, like a broken arm or a cut in the finger, the body knows what to do. You don't have to poison the bloodstream, you know, to create immunity. You know, chicken pox is not a deadly disease. It's a scare tactic, you know. I mean, even polio, you know, these things were coming down because of better sanitation and nutrition way before the introductions of vaccinations. We have been so had and so lied to by the drug companies.
Yeah.
And don't forget, the
regulating agencies are, you know, like you've got Monsanto regulating the, what is it? The food?
They're all tied in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the big families like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. Those are the real evil ones. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, you know, all the big families that nobody ever hears about. People, the average person thinks Bill Gates is the wealthiest in the world. I mean, they could buy him over again probably about a million times. They're worth $1.21 quadrillion, I was told by John Martin, the Rothschilds specifically. So these are the families that own the drug companies. These are the ones that are purposely poisoning our babies because Sickness Incorporated is big business to them, you know?
Yeah.
And we're having to be the ones that, you know, that are – been fighting the fight for a long time now, and we do this weekly radio show, so we have been blessed to have this from Progressive Radio Network, Gary Null, which we adore. He's been doing great things for years now, documentaries and books and stuff. So we do have the weekly radio show, so we're not giving up. A lot of the people back when Linda and I were, you know, being the voice for our babies, we had other people helping us, obviously, because we had a full board doing the rallies and everything, and they've kind of, I guess, slid away from the fear of being threatened or, you know, their life being risked, because they are, you know, they have taken out over 90 doctors, three of them we knew personally from Speaking Truth. So a lot of these parents, I think, just out of being squeezed by the pressure, have backed down. But you still have fighters like Ingrid Castle, Vaccination Liberation, VacLib.org. She's been fighting the fight for a long time. Her mom was Wallene James, who wrote one of the, you know, a few of the original books on exposing vaccines. So there's a lot of people. There's some people that are still from back then when you and I were doing it, Linda, that are still speaking up for these babies, a voice for the voiceless victims. But now it's Del Bigtree. Now it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's doing great work. I watched, I think you added to the website, right? Robert Kennedy's on there too, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of information on our website as well as resources. We have a lot of links that you can go to on our website and a lot of information. So don't just dissect the front page. Go through and really take a look at it, because the information saves lives. And, you know, we're hoping that they change from their wicked ways. But as for us, you know, it's important that you protect your children and that you know their rights. So that
you educate yourself. You educate yourself. Yeah. And, you know, it's come, that website that I'm getting ready to give you as we close is you know, from two people from a long time ago. How old is Stevie now?
It's going to be 22.
Yeah, 22. This Casey, her too. She was born in 95. So she, yeah. So anyway,
well,
yeah.
She would have been 24. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been fighting this fight for a long time. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop being a voice for these voiceless victims. And we just appreciate everyone else that's stepping up. You know, and we also are wanting guests. So anybody that wants to be a voice, please contact us. Because we are wanting the Rothschilds, the drug companies, to know it's just not a couple parents here. There's a lot of people that are waking up, and we are opening the radio show. We are opening the radio show to whoever wants to speak truth. What you have to say, Linda?
Protect our children. Join the fight. Make it your business to know their rights. Don't let them be victimized. We have a choice. Love our children. Be their voice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Linda's got some great poetry. We'll have her back on the show. She's, like I said, my other half in the fight for the children. And we're just going to keep you updated when we don't have a guest. But again, we are welcoming anyone that wants to help expose truth to the show, just to get your voice heard and just to let, you know, the powers that be know that there's a lot of us that are fighting this fight, not only for the children, but now for the adults too. They're trying to mandate for vaccines, mandate all across the nation, the world for that matter, to mandate the vaccines for adults as well. So any final words, Linda, before I close?
We'll be praying for you. We'll be praying for the pharmaceutical companies to change from their wicked ways. And we really need everyone to stand up and join the fight. We really do, to protect our children and protect our future. Because our children are our future, and without them, we don't have a future.
That's right. And we do have a donate button also on our front page. We are a nonprofit out of their jurisdiction. We have a 508(c)(1)(a), which is under the Constitution, as a private organization. We are not in the public domain. We're not connected to the IRS, hallelujah, which is part of the whole system. Same families. So Father's very divinely set us up with VIC Fellowship. So we are a nonprofit, tax deductible, we're totally out of their jurisdiction. So any donations you have, you can write them off if you do your taxes. But we do take donations, and we could greatly appreciate any type of financial assistance to be able to print more cards. And we do ship the cards out for free and stuff, even though we ask for donations. But thank you, Linda, for your time. And I'm going to go ahead and do the closing, okay? You're listening to VIC Fellowship, and you're listening to VIC Fellowship, and our shows can be accessed on the front page of our website on the belly of the little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Our contact number is 800-939-8227. Again, if you have any questions about today's show, just call the voicemail line 862-800-6805 and leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth, and y'all bless.